tonight. Hopefully we've got some good, helpful information and plenty of the Word of God for tonight to give us strength for the week. Our theme for this series of messages, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And today we're going to look at getting deliverance. And you know what? Our minds, God wants control. The mind is so important. You know, if the mind's right, the hands are going to be right. If the mind's right, the eyes are going to be right. If the mind's right, the tongue is going to be right. And so this thing of the mind is vitally, vitally important. And there is a war going on for your mind. And Satan has all kinds of different influences. Some influences are just ungodly, worldly, wicked influences. Some are semblance of religious influences. And he looks and he says, what will work on this individual and what will work on that individual? And so God helps us with his word. Luke chapter 8, let's go ahead and pray and then we'll read verse 26 on down. Father, I ask that you would take us tonight and God, that you would help us to understand that the battle begins in the mind. And often, God, the battle ends in the mind. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be of sound mind. I pray, Father, that you would help us to have a mind that will follow the Word of God. And God, that through the passages of Scripture tonight, you will be an encouragement to us. And Lord, through the things that we look at that are going on in our world, God, that you will help us to have an understanding of the times that we live in and the necessity of the absolute authority of the Word of God. I pray that you would help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, Luke chapter 8, verse 26, it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time. So here was a man, and this man was possessed of devils, plural, and it had been for a long time. And he wear no clothes. And that's devilish. And, you know, people ought to be covered. And you shouldn't just be covered when you come to church. This thing is, it's universal. God clothed Adam and Eve when there was nobody else around even. And so you think about this. Satan, God wants people clothed. Satan wants them unclothed. This man wear no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He was there where many people fear to go. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes, now look at this, oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Probably speaking there of the bottomless pit. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. The devil wants to destroy. He wanted to destroy this man. You know, in other passages of Scripture that deal with this, it talked about how the man cut himself, how he would go in the tombs actually screaming out. And Satan, as soon as he came out of the man, or the devils came out of the man and went into the pigs, their first thought was destruction. Let's destroy the pigs. Satan is a destroyer. Satan is the enemy. He is always the enemy. Satan wants to destroy everyone. If he had his way, he would wipe every man from the face of the earth. If he had his way, he would take every single person down to hell. And he would do so because he wants to get at God. You attack what God loves. And he does this. And it says, the devils went out of the man, entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they had fed them, or when they that fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Praise God for the departure of the devils out of this man. Look at him sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's not running around like a maniac anymore. He's not running around in the tombs anymore. He is sitting, listening and learning and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a change, isn't it? Well, guess what else? And at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know what? As soon as this man was converted, the devils went out of him and he followed Jesus, he put clothes on. It's just a given. All through the Word of God, you've got to see it. And in his right mind. And look at this. The people that knew this man, the people that had seen him running around in the tomb screaming, the people that had put fetters on him and he had broken out of them, they saw him sitting in his right mind. Look at this. And they were afraid. That amazes me. I'll tell you what. I'd have been afraid of the other guy. Not this guy. I would have been afraid of the one that was running around screaming and all that was going on with that. That's who would scare me. Now the guy's right. But you know what? This world is scared of people getting right with God. This world thinks it's strange that a person would leave their debauched lifestyle and come to Jesus Christ and be what the Bible calls normal. The world looks at that and they think, something's wrong with that guy. No, something's right with that guy. Something's wrong with the world. And it says, and they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went again into the ship and returned back again. You know what I think they'd be doing? Hey, Jesus, can you come to town? We know a few more like this. No, they're like, please leave. We don't want any part of this. It is amazing how the world does not want the changing that takes place when Jesus changes a person. They don't want it. They reject it. Oh, how we ought to want it. And it says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You want to talk about a guy who all of a sudden can become a witness. This guy, everybody knew who he was. He says, Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus says, I have a different job. Why don't you go and take your testimony and go around the town and you tell them what Jesus Christ did for you. And so what did the guy do? He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He spread his testimony. We have no knowledge of what happened beyond that. But I imagine that many a person came to Jesus Christ as a result of this man's testimony. How can you not when you see that change take place? And oh, that Christians would live such a dramatically different life so that the world would recognize, wow, these people have been with Jesus. And we can just tell people, you know what? Jesus changed me. Jesus changed me. My point on this passage tonight is how quickly can God deliver you? Now, we're dealing a lot with the mental side of things. And you say, how quickly can God get you over depression? How quickly can God get you over, and we're going to look at several different things here in a minute. How quickly? Just like that. God is able to deliver you right now. Now, I remind you again, we have talked about this. I want to say it again. If you're taking some kind of medication for anxiety, for depression, for any number of things, do not stop taking it. Why? Because some of them, when you stop, they have severe side effects. Talk to the person who prescribed them, learn about it, and if you're going to go off, taper, wean off of it very, very slowly and under the guidance of the person who prescribed it. Do not just quit. But know this, if you're here tonight and you're struggling with something, God can help instantaneously. It does not have to be a long battle. It does not have to be a long-term thing. I want to bring this out. Society encourages you to admit that you are mentally ill. Have you noticed that? They want you to acknowledge that you have something. Some disorder, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar, ADD, ADHD. And, you know, they want everybody to have a label. You know what? The thing is if you walk into a room and you want to straighten something up, that's not OCD. It's just normal orderliness. It's not a disorder. Okay? It's not. It is normal behavior for some people. For other people, maybe not so much. But you think about this, they want to call it something, and you know what? Society encourages you. They want you to walk around, and I've heard it. I have watched good Christian people walk in and say, I have OCD. Well, don't admit it. I'll tell you what, 30 years ago, you told a Christian that they had obsessive compulsive disorder. Those have been fighting words. Don't call me that. But now it's like a badge of honor to have something wrong with you. It's like a badge of honor to say, I have some kind of mental disorder. It's like a badge of honor to say, I am this way because of these three letters, and everybody wants them. People are proud of it. I looked at one site, 57 different disorders on one site alone. 57, list of 57 different disorders. The treatment, as I read down through the treatment, this is unique. All require long-term treatment. Lots of money in long-term treatment. Pills for the rest of your life. Man, somebody could take that to the bank. Why does it? Jesus took care of this guy right now. Jesus cast the devils out of this guy right now. Jesus changed this guy's life right now. One moment, he was running up absolutely with nothing on, running up saying, you know, you're Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. He'd come out of the tombs, running, screaming, cutting himself. And the next moment, he's sitting clothed and in his right mind. That's the power of God. God can change a person right now. The world, oh, you need this long-term treatment. Out of the 57 different disorders, 25% of them are directly connected with immorality. 25%. You know, the Bible just simply calls that sin. Sin. It's not a disorder, it's sin. Okay, the rest of them, okay, let me ask this. How many of you, sometime in your life, you have had some part of your body that you were dissatisfied with? Your nose, your ears, your... Anybody? Okay. Yeah, I got this little thing right here that keeps growing back. It's tumor, man. It's... But you look at it. You know what? You guys just all admitted that you have BDB. Pastor, what's that? Body dysmorphic disorder. You have a body part that you don't exactly like. You know, now we ought to be satisfied with the way that God made us, and if things are correctable like that, I guess that's not the way God made me. That's the way I made me, so I got to, you know, that can be fixed. But, you know, you look at this and you think about it. Oh, you don't like your nose? You've got BD, what was it? BDB, body dysmorphic disorder. Come on. This is our society. You know what the suggested treatment for that is? Treatment with antidepressants. Sorry, folks, I'm telling you. Let's go get the Paxil, right? This is crazy. But this is what's going on in the world. You know, I was talking, we got to spend the afternoon with the Mames, and, you know, she says, you know, in Cameroon, there is no ADHD. Yeah, because they don't have television brain, and they use discipline. Little Ashley said, I got 5 spankings in one day in school over there. She says, not a peep can come out of your mouth. I'm like, wow, Cameroon's got it better, more right than America. That's amazing. Not a peep. I said, how many did you get here? Oh, none. She's probably the best kid in school, you know what I mean? But you look at it, and you've got the difference between, you've got discipline and not that vast amount of television, and guess what? ADHD doesn't exist. There is no Ritalin in Cameroon. You know, Ritalin is child abuse. Like it or not, you know, you have a spot, I mean, you physically spank your child and they scream, oh, that's abuse. But you can put holes in your child's brain, and that's what Ritalin does long term, puts holes in their brain, and that's not abuse. That's way more abuse than putting a red mark on their hind end that was given to them for a good place for correction. Kleptomania, oh, long-term treatment. Hypochondriac, long-term treatment. Gender identity disorder, even they admit that it's a disorder. Long-term treatment. But now they've made laws that you can't promote treatment. It's crazy. Emotional support, oh, the airlines, they're struggling right now. You know, they've got to allow these emotional support animals on the airlines. Well, it's bad enough when they were dogs. This lady, this week, I had to flush my hamster down the toilet because the airline wouldn't let me bring my hamster on the airline. Well, I guess not. What do hamsters do when they get loose? They go straight for the wiring. I'm sorry, I don't want a hamster running loose on the airplane that I'm on. They told the lady, well, you can either give it to somebody else or flush it down the toilet. She chose to flush the animal down the toilet. Oh, it was so sad. I mean, but I've replaced him. Try this one. The emotional support peacock. And they want to bring the thing on the airplane. This is, our world has gone nuts. You know who gives you emotional support? His name is the Holy Spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. And people, get this, they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That's all this is. Instead of turning to the Holy Spirit and God Almighty for help with their emotional problem, their emotional support, they are turning to the creatures that God made. This is what's going on in our country. And all of this, all 57 things, long-term care, long-term treatment is required. Long-term treatment. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Jesus Christ is better than anything the world has to offer. He fixed this man. He fixed him right now. And he can definitely do that. He can. Philippians chapter 3. I want to read verse 13 and then we'll back up a little bit. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now the Apostle Paul, this verse, it's preached tons of different ways. But context is vitally important. What are the things that he's saying, forgetting those things which are behind? Let's look back. Verse 6, it says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith. He comes down to verse 13 and he says, Paul says, look, man, my mind. He says, there are some things I want to get rid of. There are some things I've got to get out of my mind. What were some of those things? See, Paul, when he says forgetting, Paul did not actually forget the things. He wrote them down here. We have a list of the things that he did. He wasn't actually forgetting them. But Paul was saying, look, I am going to overcome my past and I am going to use it as a testimony to go forward for Jesus Christ. And so what was this past that he did not want to dwell on? Well, Paul had killed people. Paul had persecuted Christians. Paul was right there holding the clothes at the stoning of Stephen. If you will, to put it into this world's vernacular, Paul probably had some post-traumatic stress syndrome. Paul had killed people. You know, you talk to veterans that have actually been in war and killed people. You got good Christian men that live their life for God. And some of the statements that take place. One Christian vet on his deathbed, he was looking toward heaven and somebody asked him, what do you look forward to most about going to heaven? He says, I will no longer see when I lay down in my bed at night the images of the people I killed. That's got to be tough, doesn't it? I've never killed anybody. I've never had to kill anybody. But that's got to be tough. But you know what? The man that said that, he didn't live in that. He lived his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He got victory over that thing. He never actually really ever forgot it. But he lived in victory day by day over that thing. See, Paul says, look, there are some things in my life, he refers to these things as dung. He says, there's some garbage in my life. I don't want to remember killing Stephen. I don't want to remember taking those Christians and separating their families and taking them to jail and watching them be killed. I don't want to remember the horrendous things that I've done. He says, I don't want I'm not going to go back there and dwell on all of that, but I will say this, Jesus Christ changed my life. Can I introduce you to Him? And so he took the things that had happened and he used them for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of post-traumatic stress disorder. It's post-trauma. There have been a lot of people who have had some trauma. The first thing you think about with that is war, obviously. There's no doubt it's a traumatic experience. I don't suggest that it's not. I can't fathom what people go through and what their minds have to deal with, especially if the people have some morals and they've had to do some things that they really didn't want to do, but duty required. It's got to be traumatic. But there are other things that are traumatic. Car wrecks. You ever been in a car wreck and you got to get back behind the wheel? And the first time you get back behind the wheel, guess what? You've got a little bit of post-traumatic stress. I wouldn't call it a disorder because it's pretty normal. It's a pretty real thing. I've been there. And you know what? It's like, hey, get your mind back. Understand that God can help you get over this thing. You can get back behind the wheel. You can drive. It's going to be okay. And God can take care of that thing. I'm not telling you, hey, suck it up and get back behind the wheel. I'm just saying, give that thing over to God. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. It's a perfectly normal thing to drive a car. It's a perfectly normal thing to have a wreck sometime. So you get back in, ask God for help, pray, and move forward. You want to talk about post-traumatic stress? You know, I've never been kidnapped. You know what? I did get lost one time, and I don't remember all the details. My mom was talking to somebody and at their car, and we had parked somewhere else, and we were headed back toward our car, and that person, they stopped and talked to her car, and I just wanted to go and sit in the car. I was a little boy. I went the way that I thought our car was and turned a corner wrong somehow or another, and I couldn't find the car, nor could I find my way back. Never claimed to be real good in the woods. But you look at that thing, and you know what? There's a little bit of trauma there. You can't find mom. You can't find your car. You're lost. What do you do? This man with a hook came by. And he's like, what's wrong? I can't find my mama. He said, well, let's walk around and look for her. And you know, he took me, I don't know, right around one turn. And there our car was and their mom was in the car and everything's fine. Well, so what do you do? Well, I had trauma. And so, you know, I can't leave home. I have anxiety now. No, you get over it. You get over it. But you know what? If someone right after that had told me that I had post-traumatic stress disorder, what would that have done to me? This is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to feel because you have this. That's how I would have acted and felt because I was told that. Do you get it? Now, you take a kidnapping. You want to talk about trauma. Can you imagine what a child that's been kidnapped? You want to talk about something hard to get over. You want to talk about distrust. Not trusting people. You want to talk about scared. You want to talk about every time you see somebody that possibly looks like the person or hear somebody that sounds like the person that kidnapped you. That would be trauma. But you know what? All of those thoughts and actions are normal. It's not a disorder. It would be perfectly normal for that child to see that person and think, oh, I don't. Why call it a disorder? Because everybody's got to have a label. And you can't function in society anymore because you have a disorder. No. You take these things to God. And I'll tell you, we've got people in this church, you've been through things. And I get it. And you understand that, you know, this has happened and that's happened. And I'm not going into details, but you think of the things that you've been through. Don't let society tell you that you have to stay down. Jesus Christ can help you to take that thing and use it for His glory. Go forward with this thing. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I'm going to press toward the mark that Jesus Christ has for me. Yes, there's some stuff. I'm not going to dwell on the garbage. I'm not going to think about what I've done in the past. That would get me down. I'm not going to think about the beatings. I'm not going to think about the abuse. I'm not going to think about my wrongs toward other people or other people's wrongs toward me. I want to serve Jesus. And God helped him every day to go forward and do that. Turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 18 through 20. This deals with the heart. The Bible says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." The heart is the key to this thing. Out of a pure heart come pure things. I read an article this week, and honestly, I was disturbed. They titled the article, you know, "Can a Christian have long hair?" Talking about a man. Can a Christian man have long hair? Well, obviously, a saved man can have long hair. Your hair doesn't save you or dissave you. But the guy in the article, he's just like, you know, "One of the best Christians I know. He's respectful, he's this, he's that, and he's just got this long hippie hair. And he's one of the best Christians I know." And I'm thinking, he's disobedient to the Word of God. The man is disobedient to the Bible. And you have just declared him to be one of the best Christians you know. Maybe he has some good qualities. Praise God, he's respectful. I'm happy about that. But he's disobedient to the Word of God. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And so don't call somebody that's living in disobedience to the Word of God a great Christian. He said, and you know, he's growing his hair even longer so that he can cut it off and give it to Locks for Love. And then he writes, isn't that something Jesus Christ would do? No. Jesus Christ wouldn't have long hair. Jesus Christ said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Jesus Christ wouldn't do that. It's amazing what people, they want to call evil right and right evil. Why don't we just say, look, buddy, if you love God, cut your hair. And if he does love God, guess what? He'll cut his hair. And if he loves his hair more than he loves God, guess what? He won't cut his hair. It's that simple. See, it's not hard. The Bible is authoritatively the Word of God. The Bible tells the truth. Right? Out of the heart proceed. So if we're going to get things right, we've got to have the heart right. Murder, oh, that's wrong. So are evil thoughts. See, there's times when we will entertain evil thoughts in our minds. Oh, I would never do that. I kind of enjoy thinking of, no, the evil thought is wrong. The evil thought defiles you. Get rid of the evil thought. Yes, the action is wrong also, but so is the thought. We can't just dismiss having bad thoughts because it's the thoughts that lead to actions. Nobody ever killed but what they thought about it first. People didn't go into adultery, but what they thought about it first. People didn't take drugs, but what they thought about it first. There's a process that goes into the heart. And if the heart, you got to get rid of the thought. Get rid of the bad thoughts. Let's deal with this thing at the heart of the matter. You know, the person in that article said, well, you know, it says in Samuel that God looks on, that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Yeah? And you know what? A person can come to church and they could put on a suit and tie, or they could be a lady and they could be dressed perfectly right, and they could have a rotten, wicked heart on the inside, and we would never know it. Yeah, we would. It would come out. It would. You can have the outside all right. But you know what? If the outside is wrong, the outside is also a reflection of the heart. If the outside is not right, you know already the heart's not right because it came from the heart. And so the heart is where the problem lies. And when the heart's right, it's going to come on the outside. Now, the Pharisaical side of that is to have the outside right and not have the heart right. And that we can't see as well. But the other way, we can see it just plain as day. But yes, God does look on the heart. So let's fix the heart. And if we fix the heart, guess what? We'll fix the outside too. It's the natural proceeding of things. Proverbs 24. We're dealing with the mind. We're dealing with the heart. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. This verse deals with thoughts. It says, the thought of foolishness is what? And the scorner is an abomination to man. But the thought of foolishness is sin. Now, dealing with society and the problems that society has, it's a foolish thing to blame others for what you are. There is individual responsibility. Well, it's not my fault. It's just the way I am. Well, who are you blaming then? God? Well, this is just the way God made me. Is it? Or did you make you like that? Or did you allow Satan to make you like that? Don't blame God for your faults. See, we live in a society with zero individual responsibility. Zero individual responsibility. We always want to blame someone else. We live in a society that, as a result of that, is a sue happy society. It can't be, man, I was an idiot. I put the hot coffee between my knees and spilled it, and it burned me. No, it's McDonald's fault. And therefore, I need $1 million from them. No. It was your fault. I know that's old, but that's society. That is society. And personal responsibility. Now look, we deal here in this church with little kids all the time, and those kids are just a product of the way they're raised. Those kids are a product of the way that they're brought up, and we look at it, and honestly, I feel sorry for them. And I wish somehow that we could change their living circumstances. But sometime when that child grows up a little bit, they've got to sometimes say, look, this is now my life. This is now my responsibility. This is now, I'm now in charge of the way I think and what I do. And a person, when they take responsibility, they can overcome all of that garbage that's in their life. But it is a foolish thing to think, I can't help it. It's just the way I am, or it's just the way I was raised, or it's just this, or it's just that. You know what that is? That's denying the power of God to change a person's life. I believe the Bible. I believe that God can change a person. I've seen God change people. You've seen God change people. You've seen God change you. And God can continue to change us. And God can continue to work on us. Individual responsibility. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, dealing with this thought of foolishness a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. I don't like dead flies in my ointment. I don't like them to see them floating in my iced tea or anywhere else. But it says this, it's making comparison. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know what? You can spend your entire life building a reputation, an honorable reputation. You know, man, this guy, he has got it together. He's smart. He's intelligent. You know, he's wise. And then this little stupidness. We've all done it, right? You go along and you do that stupid thing and you think, man, that was stupid. And everybody else is looking around and said, man, I thought he would have known better than that. And all of a sudden your reputation goes from here down to here because of one stupid little act, one foolish little act. Oh, how we've got to watch ourselves. Fathers, we have to watch ourselves. You know, it's scary how fast you can lose a reputation, right? You know, one stupid statement, one dumb idea, one moment of just letting that lapse of judgment take place, and all of a sudden, you've lost it. You've lost in a moment what it took you years to build. And sometimes people are gracious enough to say, you know what, he had a stupid moment. He's still all right. And you want to help, but oh, the thought of foolishness. So what do? You kill the thought. You get rid of it. You know, I'm going to be honest. I have foolish thoughts pop into my head. Anybody else? Oh, thank you. I'm glad that there's a few people that are like me. Now they're all putting their hands back down. Nobody wants to be like me. You know, and the thing is you pray for wisdom, but the thing is, as soon as that foolish thought pops into your head, you better get rid of that thing because you might just go do it. Okay? You got to get rid of the foolish thought. Let's deal with this thing at the source, the heart. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And verse 14 through 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Let me quickly just review these points. First, God can deliver us instantaneously from these things. Secondly, what's behind you, what's in the past, leave it there. And go forward for God. Use that thing to actually be a testimony for God. But don't dwell on it. Don't let it come back in every day and ruin your life and ruin your day. Deal with the things in the heart, whether it's the thought of foolishness or anything else that starts in the heart. You got to deal with it at the source. Get it out while it's still just a thought before it becomes an action. And lastly, unless society is reprobate, there is a law written in their hearts. Now, society is often reprobate, but there are certain things that people just know are wrong. And, you know, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law." What did we just see there? We've got some Gentile people that don't know the Word of God, but they still have their sanity. They do by nature. God has put into every individual certain things are wrong. Certain things you just don't do. And unless society, when society becomes reprobate, those things get done. But a non-Christian, normal person, there's certain things those people aren't going to do. And when people cross certain lines, certain natural lines that God gave to every human being, those people have become reprobate. And honestly, the best thing for society would be to remove those people from society. So it says, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So here is a group of people not having the Word of God. God says, if they're normal, there are certain laws written in their hearts. Remember, Romans chapter 2 is coming off of Romans chapter 1. And everything that Romans chapter 1 dealt with all of the immorality, all of the unnatural use of the body, all of the being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Look, and the list goes on. But you look at this thing, God says, I have written a law in the heart of man. Certain things, certain lines aren't to be crossed. Man knows it's wrong to commit adultery. Man knows it's wrong to abuse a child. And when a person crosses certain things, God gave the remedy for that, if you will. And the remedy is the death penalty. You know, and if a pastor, and we live in a society, pastors are reprobate. And they'll go and they'll abuse somebody. Hey, the death penalty is in order. And it is also when the public school teacher does the same thing. Yeah, the pastor, oh, he knows the Word of God. He's accountable to the Word of God, absolutely. And the public school teacher, there's a certain law written in their hearts. And when they violate a student that's underneath them, there's nothing to be said, but they are reprobate and they deserve the death penalty for it. And society is becoming so reprobate they can't even see it. Because the natural law that God put in the heart of every man is being destroyed. Now, who would be behind that? Satan. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that takes a process in society. Our society is deep into that process of destroying and making the entire society reprobate. It's not completely there yet, but it's well on its way. And we need to understand to take our thoughts. Do not ever think that you need to line up with the way society thinks. We need to line up with the way God thinks. And we need to bring our thoughts into line with the Word of God. And when society justifies something, we don't. And when society okays something, we don't. And when society says this is normal, if society is reprobate, we're never going to say that's normal. We have the Bible. We stand where the Bible stands. This church, that is the body. When the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, you know who it's talking about? Talking about you and you and you and you and you and you. It's not talking about an organization. We are the church. You are the church. It's our duty to stand with the Word of God. It's our duty to stand against the insanity that is going on in this culture. It's our duty to make sure our life comes in line with the Word of God. Now, are you going to be different if that takes place? You know, you go back 80 years or so, society was so affected by the Word of God. It was in the schools. Every kid learned the Ten Commandments. The McGuffey readers were much based upon the Bible. Society was so infiltrated by the Word of God that you could have a moral unsaved person and a moral saved person, and the two stand there, one's saved, one's unsaved, and they look just alike. Their lives they live pretty very similar to one another. Well, society has become reprobate as a whole. So we're way different. Way different. And if we ever become like society, we have given up our duty as the pillar and ground of the truth. Don't give it up. Hang on. Hang on to the Word of God. One day the trumpet's going to sound. It'll be a blessed day. How bad will it get before that trumpet sounds? I don't know. But we need to be determined. I'm not going that direction. I am never going to think the things that the world thinks are normal are normal. Normal is right here. God decides what's normal, not society. Normal is the Word of God. Any person that lines up with the Word of God, welcome to being normal. If you line up with society, you are actually going against nature. If you're against nature, that means you are abnormal. Okay? Nature teaches some things. God writes some things as a law in the heart of man. You wouldn't even have to have the Bible to know certain things. I'll tell you what, though. Society can corrupt a person so fast. We've got to be on the alert. We've got to be careful. We've got to deal with these things in the heart. Want to ponder these things tonight? Let's stand to our feet.